Word Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Judges, and we're in chapter 17. We trust you'll have your Bible open, and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. In the passage, we see a woman who has been robbed, but the interesting thing is in verse 3, it goes on to say, "And when he had restored the 1,100 shekels of silver to his mother said, I had wholly dedicated the silver unto the Lord from my hand for my son to make a graven and a molten image. Now, therefore, I will restore it unto thee." Not only does she congratulate him, but she turns around and says, "I'm going to make some false gods for you, some idols, so that you can add them to your collection." You see, I know he has a collection because I've read the rest of the passage. He has a house of gods in one sense. This man is really a mess. He has stolen. And so we see stealing. We see swearing. She has put a curse on anybody who might have taken it. And he's thinking, well, I don't want a curse. Superstition everywhere. And then we see this superstitiousness of it all, because she's not only taught him whatever, she's taught him about the flexibility of morality and a moral compass. She actually lives that kind of a life in front of him. She puts curses on people. She's going to make a molten image. And it's just a mess. And all I want you to know is this is our world today. Now, listen. When I say that, it's real easy for me to go over to the door and look out the window and say, out there. But I want you to know that many Christians have a very poor understanding of their Bibles. And that leaves them in a place that is very dangerous. If they don't deal with that, they're going to become part of the problem. One man wrote it well when he wrote these words, and I think I have them here handy for us. "In proportion to the slender influence religion wields over one's heart, greater becomes the importance attached to external rites and in the exact observance of these. The conscience is then fully satisfied and is seldom or never molested by reflections over a breach of minor morals." In other words, stealing doesn't become so bad anymore. White lies don't become so bad anymore. Why? Because I don't know much about absolutes, because I've not gotten myself really acquainted with the Word of God. And as a result of that, I turn around and I look at my world and I do the best I can. Now, many Christians, they'll read their horoscopes. They'll observe, you know, certain superstitions in their world. Many Christians, they really don't spend time reading their Bibles, and they are allowing themselves to be programmed by their world. The Bible says that we're supposed to not be conformed to this world. And the word conform means to be poured into the mold of this world. But we're to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. That's the word metamorphosis. It's the idea of being transformed like a caterpillar into a butterfly. Be transformed by the renewing of our minds. But what we do is we begin because somebody told us the gospel. Maybe we were little, but our parents maybe fumbled the ball. They didn't really pour into us everything they needed to pour into us. And so, you know, we watched them. And they had a weakness about moral basics, you know, like it said they have no molestation of conscience when they reflect on the breach of minor morals. And so many Christians have minor morals that they negotiate and renegotiate. Now, I'm not trying to say to you, you need to be careful about every little P and Q, but I'm saying the principal thing, the greatest commandment is love. That's the greatest. If you start there, a lot of the other stuff takes care of themselves. Everything about our Christian life is supposed to boil down to that word. Jesus said they will know we're His disciples by our love. The Bible says the most important thing is love. The commandment, what's the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And the second is like unto it, He told that man. He said it is to love your neighbor as you love yourself. So I begin to say I'm going to take out all the impediments to somebody's progress. I'm going to take out all of the impediments to somebody's spiritual growth. I'm going to become a canvas of righteousness as best I can. And guess what? You're going to fail. And what do you do then? You become a canvas of somebody who goes back and says, you know what? I failed. I'm sorry. Because that's part of loving. You take the thorn out of your brother's paw. You take the thorn out of your own paw as you go to the Lord and get yourself washed. Again, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's what it tells us. It says the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, as a believer, it cleanses us from all sin. And my point for us today is to recognize that when we read this, we're reading about a religious environment, a religious society. And so it's more about we in this room than it is about they who are out there. And that's important for us to personalize. Because I can't just sit in judgment. And the Bible says actually in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, at the end, it says, what have you to do with judging the world? We are to judge those within our own family. And we have to judge ourselves. And we have to be the people who understand that. It's real easy to point at the princes. It's easy to point at the priests and the prophets. But what we really need to do is look at ourselves as individual families. Who am I? What am I? How have I been? Am I getting it right? And if I'm not, I make the adjustments to say I'm sorry to those persons, maybe who are most affected, maybe our children first, maybe our spouses. We need to get this right. This woman is making a contribution to a cult that her son is championing. And that's a big deal. And it starts there because what this man's going to do, he's growing up and he's going to impact society in a huge way that we even see reflected in the book of Revelation. Now that may be a thing, I thought we're in the book of Judges. I know, right? You see, everything we do matters. And when we've come to our generation, we're much like that generation. It's why the book of Judges is so profoundly suited to our generation. The Bible says that she said, I'm going to give it back to him. In verse 3, it says, and when he had restored the 1,100 shekels of silver to his mother said, I had wholly dedicated the silver unto the Lord from my hand for my son. To make a graven image and a molten image, and now, therefore, I will restore it unto thee. Verse 4 says, yet he restored the money unto his mother, and his mother took 200 of the shekels of silver and gave them into the founder's hand, who made thereof a graven image and a molten image, and they were in the house of Micah. Now, this house of Micah is interesting. Verse 5 says, and the man Micah had an house of gods. And made an ephod and teraphim and consecrated one of his sons who became priest. Now this is all over the board. There's a lot of familiarity here with some of these things like the ephod. We've heard of that. You know, that's the thing that Aaron wore. It really kind of represents a very nice linen that was underneath that they put the breastplate over with all the stones which represent all the 12 tribes. And he was the high priest. And the ephod was the nice, nice uniform, if you will. So we're like, okay, I can recognize. What's a teraphim? Well, this gets a little more interesting. Because what teraphim represent were tutelary gods. I would say to you, think in terms of St. Mary, St. Christopher, St. Joseph, or whatever, okay? They had all those Greek, you know, Apollo and Athena and all these different ones in the biblical times. Well, this is kind of what they got. They got a little hodgepodge, mishmash kind of thing going on here. And yet it says that Micah had an house of gods. The Hebrew word is Elohim, okay? And that's God's name. And many believe that this means he actually had a house of God, and it was so compromised because it had all these other tutelary gods too, the teraphim. Now, when I went to Israel, I learned something. When I got there, I saw that they had this altar that was the altar we see in the Jeroboam when he built an altar with a golden calf on it, right? And this was something they picked up in their past when Jeroboam split from Rehoboam and the northern kingdom and southern kingdom split. And they made a golden calf and they worshipped this golden calf and they said, that's Jehovah. But what was interesting for me as in my excursion is that that was not the only thing that was there. It was about as far as to that door from me right here. There was another building. There's an altar out here, but out there, there was a temple just like the one down in Jerusalem. They had a temple that looked exactly like the house of God. And so when I see this and I see it says he had a house of God, I think I get that. And when I read in the book of Ezekiel, where it talks about how Ezekiel was carried away in the spirit from his Babylonian captivity, and he was shown great devastations that were going on, he would show him one thing, he would show him another thing, and show him another thing. And he said, I'll show you greater things than these. And what he would show was that there were actually an image of Molech or Ashtoreth right at the gates of the temple, right in Jerusalem. He said, you see that? You think that's bad? Look at this. And he says, dig into the wall. He says, look at all these pornographic images on the walls inside of the house of God. Because they were images of the gods of those days. He says, you think that's bad? Look at this. And he took them in and he said, look at the elders. They're in here worshiping those nasty things. And he says, you think that's bad? Look at this. The women are out on the front of the front steps. And they're worshiping toward the east. They're lamenting for Tammuz. Now we're talking Babylon. We're talking Semiramis. We're talking Tammuz, her son, who was a false Christ. And you have Nimrod. All that nonsense. But it was all right in the house of God. Now why is this pertinent? Because we've got a young man here, it seems, who's been brought up in a home that is so compromised that he can't even think straight about biblical truth. And what he does is he has a name that is an honor to anybody to own, which is the name Micah, but he has a house of God. And as he has this house of God, he's got these images, he's got these teraphim who are tutelary gods. And the Bible says that he actually took and consecrated one of his sons, verse 5. Do you know what that sounds like? That sounds like, you know, what Moses did for Aaron. Remember that? You know, Aaron, we're going to establish this. This is the law, and we're going to consecrate. This man had no consecrating authority. All I'm saying is it all looked sort of like church, but it wasn't, okay, when put it in our modern day words. For them, it all looked like Jewishness. You know, you have a house of God, you have a priest, but the priest was in the wrong spot and he shouldn't have been there. And it's all being sanctioned by the man of the house now, his house, his son, his mom. It's a mess. See that? It's a mess. So where's the usual suspects? And who are the usual suspects? Well, the first of all are the people. You know, we don't have princes and we don't have prophets and priests if we don't have people. They came from a home somewhere. And the home is so huge here. Now listen, you may have heard of John and Charles Wesley. John and Charles Wesley came from a family that was huge. And the real hero in their story really is their mother. Susanna had like 18 kids, I think it was. And of those kids, several of them became congressmen. Several of them, one of them became a vice president. I mean, this woman had these kids reading by her bedside at age 3. They were reading the scriptures to her at age 3. But because we have gotten to the place where we're looking at life a little differently, we wait and wait and wait and wait and wait. We let them entertain and entertain. But man, they're entertaining because why? Because their mind is just, you know, reaching for something to learn, reaching for something to know, reaching, reaching, reaching. And if we give them, you know, Walt Disney, you know, Lord knows what they're going to get today, right? Used to be innocuous. By the way, you may not have known this, but in Walt Disney's day, back, you know, 50, 40 years ago or whatever, all of this TV viewing on Sunday was evidently pretty boring and dry. How many of you remember Lawrence Welk? Anybody? You know what happened right at about time to go to church on Sunday night when people in this country used to go to church on Sunday night? You know what happened? Walt Disney came on. Wonderful World of Disney! I don't want to go! And the kids began to, you know, and it was a great heartbreak. You see, this world is geared toward the demise of itself. It is wired that way. And with our eyes in our head, we begin to say, wait a minute, I'm going to draw the line. I'm going to say, listen, for me and my house, say it with me. We will serve the Lord. We have to do that. This man, Micah, has a house of gods, or a house of God, house of Elohim. And he has an ephod. He has teraphim, tutelary gods. He's consecrated one of his sons who became his priest. And the Bible makes it clear for us, again, verse 6, in those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.